You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz is here with me. We are recording real late Saturday night. I guess technically it's Sunday morning, but a Saturday night news drop occurred in that the Michigan basketball team has hired Dusty May from Florida Atlantic to be its next head coach. This probably will be a shorter episode. I'm sure once he has a press conference and we have a little bit more of a sense of what is next for Michigan, you know, what we can dive into some of the things. But in this episode, we'll talk about the pros of Dusty May, like what makes sense about this hire, why this can be viewed as a win for Michigan, as well as the question marks or the areas that we're curious to hear more about from May and from Michigan on what's next for the program. And for those that are not familiar, Dusty May, head coach of Florida Atlantic the last six seasons, led the Owls to the Final Four last season, led them to, an eight seed. This year, they lost in overtime to Northwestern in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Other coaching stops include Florida, Eastern Michigan, actually, just under 20 years ago, kind of worked his way up as an assistant. I think Florida is probably the most prominent assistant coaching job that he's had before he took the FAU job. And if you didn't know that, that probably means you weren't paying a ton of attention to the coaching search, because not just for Michigan, for other programs, Dusty May was kind of the it name in this year's coaching carousel, you know, mostly because of what he did last season. But Florida Atlantic also went 25-9 this year. This is not a program that has a robust history in basketball. And so everyone, I think the entire country was very impressed by what he's done at Florida Atlantic. He was heavily, heavily linked to the Ohio State job before they went with Jake Diebler, the interim promotion. And then Louisville, this, and we'll talk about this in a moment, I think it had been kind of assumed nationally that Louisville was actually going to hire Dusty May. And so this is a little bit, I mean, we'll hear if there's more details or what happened at some point maybe, but I think this is a little bit of a win for Michigan in that they beat out Louisville today. And there's obviously a few things going on that front, but I think that's maybe the part where Michigan fans would be most excited is, as weird as it's almost like a recruiting victory. Like, hey, it's one thing to land a recruit. It's another thing to land a recruit that, like, another top program really wanted, right? That means that's almost like verification that, hey, multiple programs have vetted and talked to Dusty May or at least his representation and liked what he could bring to the table. And I will say, I'll give Michigan some credit here as well. This was not a, to my knowledge, this was not a just look at one candidate. My understanding was that there were a lot of candidates that they looked at and vetted. I don't know how many they interviewed. That stuff usually stays under wraps. But and throughout the whole thing, I think Dusty May was seen as the first choice. And so it was just a matter of, would he take the Louisville job or would he take the Ohio State job? You mentioned it before we hit record. West Virginia, maybe, I don't know Dusty May's preferences, but, you know, that's also not a bad job. I think they would be a program that people would look kind of hard at, you know, if they were offering a job. So, yeah, I guess the thing that jumps out to me the most is I think Michigan won this hire in the sense that they beat out other programs. If you're hiring a coach no one else wants, you know, maybe that works out. But I think that, to me, that was the biggest thing that jumped out. Steve, your first reaction when you saw the news, because this, I would say normally even if we don't have all the facts and can't report it as a story, I think you and I and our staff over at 24/7 Sports and the Michigan Insider, I'd say 90 to 95% of news, we at least have like a heads up on. This one, I don't think any of us were ready for that to all drop tonight. So a little bit of a surprise, but your first reaction when you saw the hire had been made?
Yeah, so my first thought was like, it's freaking 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday. But my second thought
not
was
convenient from a work perspective. No,
like I'm like, you know, I'm trying to watch the UFC. I'm trying to do some UFC stuff, eat some pizza. But seriously though, my second, you know, was this a Woj, right? Wasn't it Wojnarowski?
Yeah, Woj bomb,
right?
Yep.
So that's a weird like NBA guy, like, you know, dropping. Yeah. So also you see that. But my second thought was, well, yeah, as far as this being a big win, because you saw all the stuff where it, you saw the, I think it was like seats laid out in the Yum Center.
Yes, they had, right? It very much the looked like, unless a weird church service was happening. Yes, like it looked like it was going to be a press conference.
I just love saying the Yum. It's like, what's that? What's Yum is like what? Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken,
Burger
and
King. Yeah, Burger,
it's like, right? It's like, yeah, the Yum in the Yum. You know, so Dusty May was going to be the next Louisville head coach at the Yum Center. They were going to do the Yum Center. You know, so for Michigan, you know, Ward haters be damned on this one, because, I mean, honestly, whether you think he's the best, whether you think Dusty May is the best fit or not, he had to have been the, what, the number one, number two. What would we say? He was the it, like the
yeah,
it
he was
guy,
the
right?
Name.
Right?
And,
right?
And Michigan believed that too. That wasn't just the national reporters.
No, I mean,
like Michigan,
like, dude, like,
from the very beginning, liked him a lot. And and I guess what stands out to me is that they still interviewed and vetted other, I don't know if they interviewed, they've at least vetted other candidates, and he remained the top guy.
A lot
like
of
that
guys.
Tells me it wasn't tunnel vision necessarily. Like they were, I don't know if they thought Louisville would win, but you know, it wasn't known that he would even be interested in Michigan over Louisville. And so yeah, they were looking at plans B, C, D, E, and F, and he still remained plan A for the Wolverines.
Like, it's not like Louisville's gonna ever admit that he was their guy, right? So I think it feels like a big win for Michigan, whether or not it works out. like they perception wise they got the top candidate in college basketball, right? So our so I know our West Virginia guys do a great job, and Darian DeVries from Drake, Medved from Colorado State. I mean, those are guys that I feel like our West Virginia guys, I say I feel like, no, they did, reported that they talked to those guys already. You know, and those were guys that, at least on our board, were like super, like people were very high on those guys as far as like being the Michigan head coach. But to get Dusty May was kind of got pushed aside as like one of those, he's probably going to end up elsewhere because he's, you know, the big debate was like, where does Michigan lay, right? In the grand scheme, like even like with their big success, like early Howard, but pre Howard too with Beilein, where is Michigan on the national scale, right? So you know, Louisville's open, other jobs are open. Where does Michigan sit on that national scale? And that was a big question. So you think like that Louisville will get their pick, because that was the big debate, at least on our board, was which job is a bigger job. And I think a lot of people thought, I don't know about you, Zach, but I think a lot of people thought that Louisville was the bigger job from a national standpoint.
I would agree.
Right?
Basketball's a bigger deal. There's a basketball school, bigger stadium, more, I guess, national
Papa
championship
John's.
Success.
I actually that's what I thought too. And so, like, that's the thing where it's like, if you're a Michigan fan, it's like, this has got to be a big win, right? I don't know how you could perceive it otherwise, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's similar to, yeah, a recruiting win, right? You beat out another school head to head, you know, there's a little bit of extra juice there. And just to be fair, I think he's been very successful at Florida Atlantic. You know, in the seven seasons prior, they averaged less than 11 wins at FAU, less than 11 wins per season. seven straight losing seasons. And then in his six seasons there, they've averaged 21 wins with six winning seasons, a Final Four, and of course, two NCAA tournament appearances. They'd only had one previously, and that was in 2002. So he absolutely checks the box of, can he build a program? I would argue he definitely built FAU. Now the question would probably be, can what worked at FAU work at Michigan? And we'll talk about that not just later on in this episode, but probably throughout the summer. That's probably the big question is, you know, what, how does he put the pieces together at Michigan and how does it compare to FAU and things like that? But yeah, I think the perception is that Michigan got its top target and it beat out a top 15 basketball program to get that, to get him. So yeah, big win, I think, on that front. You know, other things that he does well, I think, you know, he has a lot of college experience, not a ton of head coaching experience, only six seasons, but been in the college game for a couple decades. He's, you know, you can look at it two different ways. His lack of Power Five experience, only three seasons at Florida as an assistant, that can be a con because he hasn't necessarily been around the Power Five frenzy, right? Recruiting at the power at Florida, it looks a whole lot different than at Eastern Michigan or even Florida Atlantic. But on the other side, that also means he's had to do his own homework, because if you're coaching at a mid-major program, you're not recruiting the guys in the 24/7 sports composite, right? You know, you're doing your own research, you're hitting the trail, you're working your own connections, you're building your own network and doing your own evaluations. So, you know, in some ways that's a skill that can be beneficial. So yeah, you can look at it either way. I think both are relevant. You know, I think if I were looking, when I was looking at other candidates, to me, Dusty May was not top of my personal list. Because
so wait. So who was? Who was your top?
Well,
Abdul Rahim.
Are we getting rid of the, you got to shoot your shot and see if they're, because I don't know who was.
No. So let's step back. Realistic, like the guys that, right. So no Jay Wright.
Yeah, no Tony Bennett.
Probably no Tony Bennett. Even though, like, actually, like how attractive you, like, dude, you see the, like, where Virginia's, like, their last, like, what? Like, what a schizophrenic tournament situation for them, like, the last, like, 8 years.
Yeah, it's like that classic hypothetical. Would you rather it is make kind of the though, championship right? game, you like, make three Final Fours, or just literally win one championship and
right.
then the rest are kind
like,
of...
they've been awful. But, I yeah. like, that was my thing, was, like, you know, you step back. Because, like, the big thing was, like, when Kentucky lost the other night, like, Calipari is like, will they get rid of Cal?
Yeah.
Do you really want to go that route? Like, so who, like, no, who's your...
So in terms of the other candidates, I guess this is the question. It's like, is Shaka Smart realistic? Because I think
sure
he has a lot of head coaching experience. I liked Anthony Grant. I talked about him in the last episode. I'm a little surprised that never got more traction with fans. I know he didn't do great at Alabama, but it wasn't a dumpster fire. I just think maybe he got that job. I can see a scenario where he was like okay at Alabama and sure. got a lot better at Dayton. Maybe that
probably not
apply.
Dirty enough. Yeah, that not yeah. a thing. It's very thankless job at the further
Nate
south
Oates is,
you go. You
Nate
know.
Oates is making it look very easy,
right?
It's not that easy there. I think Jerome Tang. You know, I saw that name and at first I was like, really? But then it was like, oh, actually. This makes a ton of sense. You know, maybe he wanted to stay at Kansas State. I don't know for a fact, but you know, he was someone that has the Power Five head coaching experience, has been a part of building, you know, that national championship team at Baylor. So, you know, there were, and Amir Abdul-Rahim, I mentioned him as kind of the dark horse that I'm really intrigued by. He is less experienced than May, but I would argue trajectory was comparably,
dude,
maybe not comparably impressive, but
I feel like whoever hires that dude,
yeah,
it, right? You know what I mean, though. I feel like
it's
2 years
risk,
from
but
now,
he's only 41. Like, I feel like he'll be the it name if he has a good year next year.
My brother still has the Sharif, the Grizzlies jersey.
Okay,
yeah, no, like still, no way, automatically moves him up my board. Because like, but also no, but the legitimately though, the
Yes.
trajectory that he's on just like feels like that school that takes a chance on that guy is gonna be very happy. Right? I
I
mean,
think
it's
so. Yeah.
right. So it's like with Michigan, I feel like there's a little bit more pressure,
They
but if
couldn't
you're
afford
it,
to do a second straight big swing, I would
right?
argue. Like
Right?
if you
So if
think
you're
about
like
optically,
what?
like Ward Manuel, yeah, he can't.
Or Ward automatic, right? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So hold on. So for Dur Rahim, so what's the type of school? Like Penn State? Like where would you think a guy like that would?
It's an interesting question. I don't know a ton
Not to
about
be like it's not
him,
Michigan, I
but
guess, so we're getting off topic, but I
my
actually like
guess would
he
be the South because
yeah.
all of his coaching stops have been in the South. Like
For
he's
sure.
from Atlanta, I believe. He was coaching at Kennesaw State. He's been an assistant at Georgia, or I think, yes, under Tom Crean. So I would guess an SEC program, maybe one that isn't
Doja,
having.
he'd be Georgia's head coach
Could be,
next,
could be.
right?
So yeah, but I don't know a ton about his vision, but I agree with you. I think if he continues what he's done in 2 or 3 years, I think a lot of schools will be like, man, we should have taken a chance on him earlier.
Sure.
So, but maybe Dusty
No,
May.
didn't mean to bring it off topic. Just saying, like, I feel like I do feel like if there's one guy, and again, not just because he was on the board, just feel like if there's one guy, that would be the guy that 2 or 3 years down the road would like could have been the guy, you know?
Yeah, I do think I will say this. I mean, I do think Dusty May, he wasn't last on my list. He was closer to the top, like Darian DeVries. I'm more sold on Dusty May, I think, than DeVries. I think,
Or
there's
Medved.
yeah, that's
Where you at on that one?
I think I liked I think him and May are probably like tied. I think they're both
Sure.
like I'm not gonna sit here and
Did
say
you
that's not a good hire, but there are questions.
the thing on our board about because they scored like 11 points in the first half the other night? Like you
Oh,
see it
Virginia,
like
yeah.
yeah, no, like people saying like, oh, Medved can't be Michigan's head coach now because Colorado State scored like 12 points in one half. Did you see that?
Oh, so he's like disqualified from
Yeah, no, like, hey,
the
gotta get, yeah, one half, he's done. He's not worthy. He can't do it.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if May was top of my list, but he wasn't far down. So I think that there's a lot to like about the hire. I mean, he built FAU. He has experience at Florida. I think one thing that intrigues me is I think FAU, if I'm not mistaken, was built largely on international recruits. And I still like I've noticed with some of Michigan's non-revenue sports, that seems to be a really successful area for Michigan to recruit because it's a prestigious academic program. And they have established international like student athlete coalition. Like there's every sport, I think, has utilized it, and I always kind of joke like Michigan should really be cleaning up in Toronto area because it's 5 hours away, right? So like think about like Nick Stauskas, Iggy Brisdakis, and Michigan basketball's actually had. I mean, think about Wagner brothers. So I think I mean they've had international success, and so I'm curious about that. If you're thinking Michigan can't go win a bunch of recruiting battles for top 50 recruits. Like I think their sweet spot is really the 40 to 80 range in terms of recruiting rankings. If you can get two or three players from kind of that window every year, you'll probably have a annually pretty strong roster that can develop. So yeah, curious to see what he changes about how he builds rosters and how he builds a program when he goes to Michigan. But ultimately, again, if Michigan liked him from the beginning, they vetted multiple candidates. They still liked him the most. Louisville also liked him the most. Hard to not view that as a win for Michigan. We're going to hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk about some of the other questions we still have about this hire and what's next for Michigan basketball. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
So, Steve, I know I mentioned a few candidates that I was not even necessarily thought were better, just maybe thought they were more qualified. Like, if I think about the boxes, you know, I did that story a few days ago about what Michigan should be targeting. One of the things I said was multiple stops with success. You know, you don't want necessarily a flash in the pan. So I would argue, I mean, May, he can prove me wrong, but, you know, he doesn't necessarily have multiple schools that he's built up. That's probably the biggest, I would say, deficiency on his resume. It's just Michigan's getting him before he can go have success somewhere else. He's 47. He's only been a head coach for 6 years. It's not realistic for him to have already built multiple programs. There is a little bit of a risk factor there where, hey, was it just this particular group of players at Florida Atlantic, or is this something that he can replicate? That's probably my biggest question mark about this hire. How about you? Do you have any questions? And if so, what's that kind of at the top of your?
No questions, dude. This is the perfect, the perfect hire, right? No, it's interesting, right? Because so last night I did a dive. We talked about West Virginia earlier, right? You know, because the big thing was like Dusty May and Louisville and stuff, but West Virginia is like a really good job. And they talked about like the guys they were is like, I kind of wonder is like when you're, you know, there's like what, seven guys, like six guys, you know, you talk about DeVries, Abdul Rahim, May, Medved, like these guys. So my fascination has always been is like, what, you know, when you're like, you're in Ward Manuel's position, like these are similar, right? Similar trajectories to some extent. How do you dictate or how do you determine which, like, who is that guy? You know, it's like, that's what's so fascinating to me. And, you know, my thing with May was always about Indiana, the Indiana connection. Like, if Woodson sucked again, because, like, Indiana's been trash, right? It's like,
because he was, for those that don't know, he attended Indiana, was a manager
Yep. You know, how do you manage that? Even you're Louisville too, not just Michigan, but like, how do you, you know, a guy like him, where he's in the position he's in. We did see how they kind of crapped the bed the other night. It was like Davis, arms up, wide out, you know, like feel like they kind of crapped it at the end, but still did a good job with FAU. My big thing was like, how do you dictate between these like semi-similar candidates? You know, it's like one of those things where it's like 2 years from now, 3 years from now, come back and say like, oh, they should have done that guy, taken that guy. And that's like, that's been the biggest thing for me is what direction do you go?
Yeah. And then I think additional questions, obviously recruiting, is he a ace on the trail? Is he, you know, is he going to be someone that's really aggressive in recruiting blue chip prospects? Or is this a scenario where he is a little bit more of a, I'm going to find the hidden gems. I'm going to find, you know, an international prospect who, like the next Mo Wagner, who was not, you know, colleges were intrigued, but, you know, he didn't necessarily have like this huge offer list, certainly not as big as it would have been had they seen him play a little bit more. So yeah, is he going to be looking for hidden gems on the recruiting trail? Is he going to be trying to go toe to toe? You know, I think, obviously, the Indiana side of things, does he have like this secret desire to go to Indiana? Because that would hurt Michigan if he left. Yeah, hypothetically, if Mike Woodson, as you mentioned, struggled and then they make a change. You know, an additional question would be probably the assistants. You know, what kind of assistant coaching staff does he surround himself with? Does he, you know, find a way to recruit John Sanderson back to Ann Arbor? I'm not necessarily expecting that. for assistant coaches, is it going to be his assistant coaches at Florida Atlantic? Is it going to be guys with Michigan connections? Is it going to be, you know, is there going to be a veteran, like a Phil Martelli type of assistant coach? Is it going to be young up and comers? So, you know, I think a lot of it, we're just going to find out in the next couple of weeks. The huge elephant in the room is Michigan has what, 4 or 5 scholarship players in line to be on Michigan's roster next season. You know, Doug McDaniel entered the portal. Terrace Reed entered the portal. You know, a lot of guys are out of eligibility. So it'll be kind of a roster reset.
So Zach, one comment. So we're in a position to like tell people what's the patience level with Michigan basketball right now. I mean, like, no, Doug's gone. Terrace Reed's in. Like, how do you bird's eye view, right? Yeah. The roster is going to be the people, like, when
there's
going to
be a lot of new faces
in 9 months,
a lot of new names,
right? It's going to be totally different. Like,
some of it's going to depend on what seems to be controllable. Because I think what frustrated fans about last season was it felt like Michigan dug its own grave to a certain extent. Like, it just seemed like they were chasing waterfalls on the recruiting trail. It just seemed like they weren't thinking big picture how to fill out this roster. They were thinking more like, yeah, just got to get, you know, Caleb, you know, it just seemed like they had a little bit of tunnel vision with like top tier recruits. And Olivier Kamwa was one of them, but it did seem like they missed on a lot of their other, like, oh,
well,
this
dude,
is the
when
guy.
When you see Love, Pac-12 player of the year.
Yeah.
And they also did it to themselves though, right?
Yes. Like, and Juwan, you know this from recruiting, a good coaching staff is going to know when a certain thing isn't going to happen. So,
You know what I mean though? It's like, especially with the transfer portal.
Yes.
Right. That type of stuff where it's like Terrence Shannon, here's Shannon, here's Love, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, poop, they're gone.
Right.
Like, no, but that makes it difficult though. Think about it. Like, you're watching the games today. You see the Illini running, you see Arizona winning, and it's like, if you're a Michigan fan, it's like, man, we could have had their best, each of those teams' best players could have been on Michigan's roster. So
I get it. And I think there is something to like keep in mind. But in terms of moving forward, I think in terms of expectations, I think we need to see how the summer goes. Because if genuinely none of the Michigan players who entered the portal come back and more of them leave, and it's like a true roster reset, then yeah, of course you have to kind of lower the threshold or the bar of a successful season in year one. You know, and on the flip side, if Dusty May turns out to be a name that, you know, moves the needle with transfer portal recruits, you know, maybe you do raise expectations a little bit. I think the thing, John Beilein said this a few years ago when I was covering, I want to say the 2017 season, and he was asked, like, was it a successful season? He said, it's not about the banners and the wins and losses. It's about, did you get everything you could out of the team that you had? Because some years, injuries are going to bite. A player might be academically ineligible for a certain amount of games or whatever. You know, some years you're just given a tough hand, but can you still get the most that you can out of that team? On the flip side, if you have a championship caliber roster, can you capitalize on that? And so I think that's where this 2023-2024 team, that's where it became clear to me that it was time to move on. Was, yeah, they were predicted to finish 11th in the Big Ten. Like, and I don't think anyone was necessarily expecting the NCAA tournament, just given the losses that they had on the roster side of things. But 8-24 is underachieving, even with the lowered expectations. So in terms of year one expectations for Dusty May, I think for me, a lot of it's going to depend on how they put this roster together. But I think if the team is playing better in February than in November, and I think if the team is competitive, at least on the bubble, barring, you know, a massive, massive turnaround and some other injuries and things like that, you know, do they play hard? Do they look like they're engaged? Do they, you know, I think Penn State with Mike Rhodes, I don't know a ton about what Penn State fans think, but I would argue that was a successful season for them because they were predicted to finish dead last in the Big Ten. I think they only had one or two scholarship players return.
Wait, so you're pro Penn State going forward?
I think they could view this season as a success.
They got kind of hosed, right? Yes. So Shrewsbury went to Notre Dame. They lost pretty much
every scholarship player.
I agree, dude.
And so, you know, I think to me, that might not be viewed as a successful season from a win-loss record. I think they were one game under 500. But I think, you know, the way they competed in the Big Ten, the way that they closed the season, felt like they got better throughout the year. And so for me, I think if that were Michigan's situation, I think you could view that as a successful year one. Just personally, I mean, every fan's going to have their own standards, but are they playing hard? Are they getting better? And do all the decisions make sense? Like,
college basketball is the weirdest.
Dude, this portal is just insane.
Portal, but college basketball is the ultimate. Like, it's just so weird. So you watch tonight. So what's this, Saturday? Golti. Dude, it's such a weird, different situation. So of course, like, talent's always going to rise, right? So if you recruit, you know, you recruit great players, you know, it's like poker. You got the best hand. You're always gonna get, you know, you always got a shot. But it's like, dude, it's so weird when you watch a tournament. It's like I don't know how.
Yeah, the tournament's just so very hard to predict.
You get,
and it's very hard to build your roster for it,
right? You got a regular dude, and that's why, like, you know, you get this talk about expanding the tournament and stuff, and it's like, no, the tournament right now is perfect as it is. So.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan probably getting probably a best case scenario for them, given all the circumstances. But there's a lot of roster building needed, but it's not a five star. It's not a talent. It's different. Like, college basketball is not a talent accumulation game like college football is.
Yeah. Dusty May's culture, find the guys who will fit your culture and who will play hard for you and help you get better throughout the season. Like, that's priority number one.
Yeah, so different than football, dude. Football is like, it's a bigger roster. It's just like, it's so different. And you're seeing it now, right? I mean, you see some of the guys that Michigan was, what Juwan was trying to recruit. Like, you see Isaiah Todd not really doing anything. Musa.
Oh yeah, we could go down that rabbit hole. Yeah,
no, but if you're a Kentucky fan right now, like, what do you?
No, yeah, you're sick of these five stars who.
Yes, like,
I don't know if it's them necessarily, but the team just does not do that well in March, and you start kind of wonder, are they thinking about the NBA draft? Like, where it's like, you see these teams that win championships, a lot of times it's like
like Michigan State, dude. Like, so my big thing, like, you know, I got my buddies, you know, we all live in Michigan. I actually, like, you look at what MSU has and you think that would be the classic team that would make a run in the tournament, right? Deep in the backcourt. Veteran front court. My point is, May comes in, whatever. Like, you're trying to, it's like, I don't know what you do as a college basketball coach right now. That's kind of my point. Like, what route do you go to try to figure out a consistent winner, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's my biggest thing is, like, it's so weird, dude. College basketball is so messed up. I guess
it's very random. And if you talk to, like, veteran coaches, that's why they always say, like, the regular season conference titles, the one that they, of all the banner, obviously the national championship's great, but, like, that's the NCAA tournament has a certain amount of randomness to it. Whereas, like, yeah, if you're winning your conference, that means you were the best team from start to finish. And so Dan Hurley's mentioned that, John Beilein's mentioned it. A lot of legendary coaches have said, like, that's the one that they take, the ones that they take the most pride in. Cause it's not, hey, you just happen to beat the right or face the right teams on the right weekend and things like that. You're actually winning wire to wire. And And the transfer portal, you know, it's just, it's such a mess. I think a third of
college
basketball players enter the portal every year. So I think one thing that's underrated, we haven't mentioned it yet, so I'm going to call it underrated. I do think Michigan, a big win, is getting this done by March 24th.
Sure.
I think,
yeah, I agree.
You know, I kind of wondered if Ward was, not Ward's only, but I wondered if Michigan would, I mean, even the Juwan hire took longer than this. And so I think the fact that I think Michigan understood timing, you know, don't want to waste days. You have time, but you don't want to waste time. And obviously Dusty May, it was decision time for him. But I think the fact that he is waking up tomorrow, March 25th, and he is all Michigan, their season's done, he can start recruiting players. I think that does help. I think that does help because, you know, some teams' seasons are still going on. They can't recruit. The portal is hard. They can't necessarily go on some of these visits. So I think the fact that he can start a little bit earlier, obviously Ohio State made their hire even earlier, and other programs don't need to make a new hire or don't necessarily need to rebuild the roster. But if you're thinking from Michigan's perspective, hey, this is probably going to be an add seven or eight transfer kind of season.
So if they had won their last, like if they had won, would he not be the...
Oh, if they'd beaten Northwestern? Yeah. I don't think...
Would he not be the guy?
Well, he might still be the guy, but he would have been hired later, yeah. Right?
Isn't that weird? No, yeah. But like that's what's kind of funny about it is like if they'd won, he'd still be coaching and he couldn't recruit for Michigan, obviously.
Yeah.
So good work. Good work on losing. Sorry.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
Right.
No,
right.
I'm sorry. No, he was, no, but I'm just trying to make the, you know,
ahead,
it's like,
but,
yeah, that was a great game, by the way. But also they kind of crapped the bed.
I was told it was a Juwan Howard, like last few seconds, final play.
Yeah. Okay. No, we're not going down. No. Great coach game by both sides. I thought it was an awesome game.
Okay. Baby. So that is one perk for Michigan, whether they intended to do it or not. But, you know, to be able to start earlier with this roster rebuild, I mean, every day counts in that sense. So that's another reason why, if you're a Michigan fan, you can feel good about this hire. So it's not without question. And I think we talked about all of them. Lack of Power 5 experience, relative lack of head coaching experience. Not quite sure what the recruiting strategy will be. In Michigan, you know, I don't think it's quite as bad as it's sometimes perceived by Michigan fans, but like there are obstacles. I call them obstacles because you can still work around the Michigan football added transfers who were not graduate transfers. Like it can be done. But you know, between the credit transfer thing, between overall academic situation, between the NIL, like it's not the easiest place to recruit. That's probably the biggest downside of Michigan as a program. At the same time, you know, there's no reason to think that a coach like Dusty May can't build a competitive roster in year one. So we'll see how that looks. And we'll obviously get to know Dusty a little bit more when he has his introductory press conference. We'll find out more about the assistant coaching hires and his plan for the future in the coming days and weeks. And you'll be able to read all of that over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. We'll probably do another podcast as well, I would imagine. For now, for Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is the next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount+.